Hello, welcome to the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show. It's your boys! James and Edward.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, so well, we're not recording in a room with like other people living around, so I guess I could get a little bit more stupid. Plus, I've been dealing with a very busy, annoying day.
By the way,
so
hi.
So maybe I might be a little bit energetic, a little bit. Maybe I got frustrations.
By
that
the way,
or Brett Michaels is a fucking idiot. Because that's right, baby. We're back.
Oh, my God. We're back.
But here's
all
let me
right.
tell you about the day.
By the way, hi, I'm Edward.
Yes. Edward was dying over there of laughter. All right. Your boys. So one me.
This is some shit. Trigger warning. This is some shit.
Well, one shit, but basically, your boy here, kind of busy filled out day. Had to wake up.
Wake up.
Had to wait for a freaking phone interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, your boy's working right now, but it's a temp job.
Yes.
And we don't know if this job, but fuck it. Never be shy to do job interviews.
Just work the two jobs for a little bit at least.
It's not even work the two jobs, just more like, just go
get
do it.
Get yourself out there, get something secured.
Or just practice talking to people in like job application processes and stuff, because some people aren't good with that art. Sometimes you just gotta do fucking interviews on interviews just to get used to like, hey, fuck it, I don't care, and get used to like hearing like kind of the repeat sort of questions and stuff.
Yes.
Do your research on whatever and stuff too, or fuck up in the interview and realize, all right, how did I fuck up and where should I work on and stuff too?
I've always been okay at interviews, but that's just because, you know, people that know me know I'm decent at carrying I wouldn't say carrying conversation, but I'm just decent at talking to people. Dad always said I had the gift of gab, which I think was a nice way of him telling me I didn't know how to shut up. But
yeah, there's the gift of gab, but it's also like not going to job interviews like, hey, yo, what up, fools? Yeah, dude, you're fucking boy right here? Shit, I could fucking do all that stuff. No, you need to talk like a normal
person. What's cracking, dog? Oh, why do I want upper management? Because I'm lit.
Why I want upper management? That fucking moolah. Customer service? Shit, dog. I just talk
fuck,
like this.
Fuck, dude. Customer
People
service.
Just
job's
get
a
it.
Job, dude.
Get
I'm, just here to I'm just here to fucking
yeah,
grind.
No, how dare I say, what's your definition of customer service? For me, the quick definition I would say is just a good communication.
Yes.
Where you can like where someone like your customer can feel like they can actually talk to you whenever mm-hmm. your service or whatever you're selling and stuff.
You know, it's funny you mentioned communication because that plays a part in the story here.
Yeah. So basically, another thing in my life is that I gotta fucking move again because my freaking property manager and stuff's just whack. I'm just saying. When you have someone, when you kind of like, you first meet the actual landlord and he doesn't know that you're living there is one thing, and then you have an issue where you want to just like talk to them, but then you start screaming in your face and basically want to give you 30 days, unless this just sounds like I'm in the wrong, because believe me, I can see while listening to this story, it's kind of hard to tell. It's like, why would someone feel like they need to threaten you with 30 days? It's like, see, that's a good question. I understand these concepts, but I've never fucked with her. I never fucked with anyone. I do my dishes. I keep it, like, low-key. And then, like, I'm hearing other, like, tenants, too, like, wanting to have, like, death fantasies on her because she's so wacky. So
I think I have to go find
a new spot.
The way you described it to me was some dude, maybe drunk, was screaming in the night about how he wants to put a gun to her fucking head.
Yes. Which I'm like, bruh, that's some fucking serious threats. either you're just like don't know how to control your emotions, but I'm just saying someone's fucked with you that much where you're having death fantasies and I'm already having two issues. That's a fucking nail in the coffin. I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
We could honestly fill about, you know, these podcasts for ours usually run 45 minutes to an hour. You could probably fill at least half a podcast if you went into the story of your pretty short stay at this place. It was like, what, 2 months maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 months of bullshit.
But how there are 2 months I've learned enough to with my self-worth where I'm and I have the money just go like, dude, I don't have no reason to be
here. I literally told him.
Because here's the thing. The lady bans my girlfriend, which you people just might not know. She's very shy. Well, yes. Basically social anxiety.
Yes.
She says she has social anxiety. And like, she's a tiny person.
She's very small. You don't understand.
And like, my property manager has like a big size. Like German Shepherd.
This dog is dummy thick.
It's like it's good sized dog. Like it's a very very friendly dog.
Oh yeah,
but it also gets in your face with its like friendliness.
Oh yeah, and you feel that weight,
and you're just like, dude, back up, bro. I don't need this. Just kind of in your face, and then like my girlfriend gets intimidated by it and stuff. But the landlady feels like my girlfriend's gonna report her dog. Because mm-hmm. She feels like she dealt with someone else having her dog get shot by cops and stuff. Which
is fucked
I
up.
I understand this. But can you, like, give a fucking chance to, like, actually let my girlfriend and I talk to you and, like, establish, like, we're not going to do anything with your dog.
This old asshole was yelling in my boy's face, not letting him even talk. And
I was trying to calm. I had to raise my voice to, like, pseudo put something in, just kept screaming in my face.
Yep.
And didn't want to give me 30 days.
Threatened with 30 days? That's got to be fucking illegal. That has to be.
It was like, it's month-to-month lease. You don't have a year-long lease. I could do what I want. And just like...
She said that?
Or just like, I could do... And it's like, said... Well, basically, it's like, I could do that. And I'm just like, bro, why would I deal with that?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to get kicked out, but if you don't want to talk... I might as well just fucking leave.
Yeah.
But I'd rather leave in a sense of like, hey, I'd rather like have the ability to not like trip.
Yeah.
On like trying to like bum rush.
Yes.
I just wanted a pseudo, but I was able to talk to some other peeps and like, no, I'm going to move closer to like my job for a commute. So I guess it's something, but I don't know. You peeps don't want to know that. You want to hear about bad boy rock star Bret Michaels as he tries to find love again.
Fuck you.
Unless you want to talk about Bret Michaels.
No. I wasn't ready to come back yet.
I gave you the fucking option.
It sounded like you really wanted to talk about Bret Michaels.
No one wants to talk about Bret Michaels. Unless you're Ricky Rackman, because you are fucking playing tickle butt with fucking that bandana affliction shirt wearing geek.
I came back into this show and... I knew just from reading things and taught and whatever, I knew that the cast for this season and season 3 aren't nearly as cool and memorable as season 1, except for like a few standouts, obviously, with fucking Daisy. But we had future tense of that. Going into this blind, it's just a way less cast. Like we'll get into it more, but I need to say, this cast is so much lower bar than the last one. Just going off this first episode, because like you look at the last cast and yeah, we made a comment in the very first episode. You know, I said they were basically basic, and he, you know, you said that they were a lot of them were basically, you know, bar sluts, which is true. But as the episodes goes on and they weeded out the weak, you know, you saw them in layers. You know, some of them actually turned out to be decently smart. They knew how to dress decently. They had decent minds about them. And some of them were nuts. They were all nuts to a degree.
And fucking Lacey.
Yeah. But they were varied and stuff. This cast of women feels like women I used to see on Skinamax back in 2005.
Now, the question is... Is it me, or do I feel like the ladies are a little bit more prettier than the last season?
That's the thing. They're objectively hotter, most of them. Oh, especially, what was her name? Hold on. Especially, Ina.
Ina. Oh, hell yeah. Ina's your girl.
She's fine. But no, seriously, they're objectively hotter, You could probably say they're sexier.
But out of this first episode, there wasn't a fucking Tiffany.
There was close to a Tiffany.
And like, only one person had their tits out.
Yeah. Yeah. This cast is different. In some ways, they're a little more exciting, but they're not as trashy, I think.
I don't know. We'll see as the season goes on, because we're back at it.
So this shit opens up. The last season in the first episode, it was the first 30 seconds that made my fucking nuts explode. What? That twisted my nuts. That's what I meant to say. Shut up. Hold on, let me repeat. Take two. So season one, what really grinded my gears was the fact that, you know, in the first 30 seconds, shit was, you know, Bret Michaels. This shit set up the exact same way, but so 20 babes outside this bachelor pad.
20 babes in this
pad. They have two things in common: their love of rock and roll and for the man that made his life. Then they use, I hate that I noticed this, but it's probably because I saw this clip so many times editing the video. They used the same exact music they used for Bret in the first episode of the last season, that fucking Batista ripoff. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Except this time he's riding in some fucking
Ferrari
because he's a fucking rich boy. And Bret, he says, "Hi, I'm Bret Michaels." I'm like, "Don't you fucking dare. I'm the lead singer of the rock band Poison." I'm like, "Don't you fucking dare."
I'm the lead singer of the rock band Poison.
"And I am back." I'm like, "Phew, okay." But then he fucking says, "I've toured all over the world, sold over 25 million records. This piece of shit show gave him 5 million more sales. Fuck you." So, hung out with some of the sexiest girls in the world to compete with my one true love, that bitch goddess I call rock and roll. I was 42 seconds in. I almost texted you. I'm being dead ass. I almost texted you. "Can we push this out another week?" Because I wasn't ready. But I trudged on. I puckered my little asshole. Let's get it on. Oh, and good news, everybody. He kept the theme song. "Hey, show you things you've never seen."
Yo, fuck it. You can do this.
Okay, so he talks how crazy last season was. He said things with him and Jess didn't work out. And it plays the clip of her basically saying, "Yeah, bruh, you should have chose Heather.
Should have chose Heather or not been fucking weird with me."
Yes.
Because you got to remember.
Yes.
Friggin' after the show, they barely had any contact and they just send her straight to the hotel. And then he had to hit those roads for supposedly 6 months. Let the fucking show play out. And then you could do a reunion where you can finally see each other.
Yeah,
after winning the show. It's like, all right, yeah, now we can start dating. It's like, after that whirlwind, and then it's like, all right, nope, you can't see him for 6 months. And then you're like,
yeah,
how the fuck you deal with that?
Yeah.
I think just like a normal person's like, all right, I had my fun, but I don't think this is going to work.
They go out of their way to tell you that when they advertise the show and Jess and Bret reunited after 6 months. I thought about that later and I was like,
that's half a fucking
what the fuck? you know? But Ricky Rackman, don't you remember? "I need to clarify, he couldn't be there with you because he had all these things." And Brett's like, "Oh, I gave them a middle finger just by even driving you to the hotel. Suck my fuck." So
this fucking
we cut
guy
to Big John walking up to a motherfucking mansion. Not some little house, whatever. This is a mansion, which means they had a bigger budget.
Oh, fuck, they did.
And he sets up a stripper pole, guitars on the wall, literally a wheelbarrow of wheelbarrow
of beer.
Beer. Oh, I wrote real bear. Hold on.
Dude, he's fucking dying.
Wheelbarrow
of beer.
Of beer.
And then also he tested the stripper pole, which was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And then as I wrote in my notes here, good news, they kept the theme song. So he says, this is his intro after the theme song. I found this funny.
So he Brett says, 40.
He says he's 40, never married, engaged a few times, never married, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, elbow drop,
supposedly
suplex.
Tours 9 months out of the year.
Nine months.
And I wrote down, no wonder his health is fucking shit.
Yeah, for serious. Yeah, dude. I was on TV Tropes one time, and there's in the Your Mileage May Vary section where they talk about contentious things. There's a part for Poison where it says, it literally says critics and rock enthusiasts slash, it literally said music nerds hated this band, but they kept selling out arenas. And I was like,
no.
How? Let's assume that's correct. How did, except for Every Rose, how did any of their albums warrant them selling out somewhere? Top billing. I don't mean them opening up for someone, because the tour with like them and Def Leppard and Motley Crue, yeah, that's sold out, but it's because you've got Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Joan Jett. So, I don't get it. So,
bro, the mystery of Poison, at least Poison's a little bit more reasonable than supposedly how big Rat is. Rat baffles me.
I want to die.
Rat has a fucking platinum record.
Is that Out the Cellar or the other one?
I don't know. I just went, how?
Poison doesn't have a platinum record, I think, do they?
What are you fucking talking
about? No, they've got like six. Or no, one of their albums went like, I think
25 million records sold.
Right, I'm stupid. This show made me stupid.
Dude.
So, what was I? Oh, yeah. He then says, I love music, but I work real hard at it. And he said that, and I went, ha, 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 ha.
Cool.
You don't work hard.
Cool, dude.
He says, this isn't easy, and this woman needs to be very special. We get a shot of the girls, and like I told you, these girls feel more, I guess you could call them, I don't know if the word slutty is the right word, but they feel hot. This crowd.
They just feel prettier.
They feel prettier.
Like, these are a little bit more prettier chicks.
And then, let's see.
So the first one, we get Megan.
I'm drawn to Brett like a nun to a convent. I'm like, fuck you! Not this quick! Not this quick with the bullshit! Not now! You're the first girl! Fuck you!
So, yes, Megan, who I wrote down at first, is like, yeah, dude, so first we meet Megan. She comes off of as total sociopath, but, like, it misspelled it to socialist. So, which I'm like, I don't feel like changing it. It'd be funnier. So, yes, we got Megan, who's a socialist.
She says, as soon as Brett sees me, he'll be in love with me, too. I guess it should be, as soon as Brett sees me, he'll be in love with us, too.
Bruh. So Megan, who's actually a little bit more of like prominent, I guess, of the season.
I guess. No one really felt stand out. I mean, I guess the first episode.
She comes off sketchy. She has like no emotions.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote down she's a socialist. Okay. A sociopath, but the socialist is the running joke.
Yeah. Well, Lacey, I truly think was a sociopath, but it was a different
thing.
She had
emotions.
Yeah.
She emotes.
She just didn't feel emotion for things.
That was fucking hilarious. Spoiler alert, Megan doesn't win.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But she actually got her own show, which you can go research it, called Megan Wants a Millionaire, but it only aired 3 episodes because eventually one of the dudes...
Oh, wait, I think I heard about this. He killed someone.
Yes, one of the dudes killed his lady.
Yeah.
And he like makes it to the final 3.
I heard a rumor that he was the one that actually won.
No, he made it pretty far in the show.
Oh, he did, okay.
But dude, her shit got canceled 3 episodes in.
That sucks.
So yeah, spoiler.
I'm sure the show sucked too, but...
Oh, dude, fuck it. No, I remember I was like, find the footage, and when they're introducing the dudes, and we see the first, when we actually see the dude that did the murder, it's like, dude, it's just like, fucking creepy and haunting. I'm like, dude, that guy comes off fucking.
It's like
sketch.
It's like, dude,
all these reality fucking people come off sketchy.
Why did season 2 Rock of Love get all the spinoffs? What about season 1? Lacey could have gotten her own show.
What are you talking about, dude?
A lot of those
chicks went on a Rock of Love.
They showed up on other shows, but they didn't like get their own show. Why does Daisy get her own show? Why does Megan get her own show?
I don't fucking know.
Because
they're blonde and you're hot. Yeah.
So's Heather. Well, Heather's hotter than Megan.
Heather is badder than Megan.
She's bad, dude. Next is Peyton. So she says, there's nothing and no one that can get in the way of what I want. I came here to get Brett, and I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. She's got a southern accent, too. And I said, fuck you! You're not rodeo!
So you could say either you have connections to rodeo, but I just said, dude, Peyton's basically a bar rocker.
Yeah, oh, she's a bar rocker. She's the kind of person that would unironically tell you that her favorite band is 38 Special.
Dude, her fucking voice sounds like she smokes a lot of cigarettes.
I've met women like her so much. It's insane.
Everyone has.
Next is Ina. She says something in Russian, and apparently what she says is, I want to fuck Brett first and then make love to him. And dude, I don't know what it was. It was the black hair too, the tan. Me gusta.
So ever like Ina, I wrote down Ina a horny Euro.
Well,
European,
dude,
a horny European.
Europeans are hot, dude. So like, we got some hot chicks in America, but Europe is hot.
So, Destiny.
Next is Destiny, which I hated Destiny mostly just because I hated how her name is spelt. Why is there a second E there? Anyway, she's got these huge ass lips, right? So, yeah, I thought it was funny. Last season we had a Faith, now we have Destiny. She says, and I quote, I am bisexual. I love making out with hot, sexy women. If I'm not getting it from Brett, then I'm going to find some hot girl to make out with. She has to be a plant, or that had to be scripted, because bisexuals don't talk like that.
I wrote down, Destiny, a not European horny person. So yes, we have Yina, who comes off as like a very horny European person.
Yes.
Then we get Destiny. This is basically the same thing, just not European.
Yes. Brett shows up in his car.
Well, no, then we get Daisy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. Daisy, and I just wrote here in my notes, Daisy? Fuck.
Daisy's pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Daisy's just acting like nervous, like, oh my God, let me pray. So cool and stuff.
I'm like, well, let me pray, but I'm so nervous.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
And then, you know, Brett shows up. All the girls scream.
Dude, is it me, or did, like, Brett get more fucking a pop from the peeps from, like, this season than, like, the first episode?
I think so, but I think there's that added thing. Both seasons, you know, people were there because some were there to get famous, but some were also there because they knew Poison. I think with this one, it's still both of those, but now it's the thing of, oh, shit.
We saw Brett the Michael, show.
Yeah, we saw the show. They make so many... Most reality shows...
Dude, these
chicks
fucking were making so much noise.
Most reality shows don't usually acknowledge the last season. This show, there's callbacks to the last season. Ugh, there was an overarching storyline. There was some, I almost said Onita. There was some ghetto, New Japan, fucking Tetsuya Naito, Cash Money Okada, four-year storytelling. Or we're going to pretend it's four-year storytelling. No, you just didn't want to put the belt on Naito, asshole! Anyway.
He did.
Later, he should have done it in 2016. Or was it 17? When did they wrestle at Wrestle Kingdom the first time? 20.
It was like first time or like the one time?
No, the one time.
Where like Okada debuted pants.
Where Okada debuted pants, yeah. When was that?
I think that was 2018.
Yeah. You should have put the belt on him then. I'm still salty about that. But so yeah, he shows up, blah, blah, blah. And one of the girls, Amber, says, when you see him on TV, it's like, oh, there's Brett Michaels. But then you see him in person, it's like, oh my God, it's Brett. And she, like, her breath hitches, you know, like she's losing, like, because she literally says, he takes your breath away. I'm like, fuck you. I know you are not getting damp in the moose knuckle over Brett Michaels. Stop it.
So Brett does some exposition of last season as he describes on like the nuttiness of the house and then basically why he couldn't find love.
Yeah.
I didn't go into too much details. I just wrote down Brett.
He just said that season didn't pan out for him. Do you want to know what this motherfucker said? He said there was we had a lot of rock of like and some rock of lust, but not a lot of rock of love.
Cool, dude.
Like, I bet you thought that was funny. I bet you sat down and do that spot and you're just like, oh yeah, no, this is funny. What's going on?
So yeah, so Brett basically tells us the only way he can find true love is making people go through this fucking house of like challenges.
He says he's looking for the usual thing, physical attraction, chemistry, connection, funny, smart, sexy, the whole ball of wax. The only way he knows how to find one, you know, his rock of love or whatever, is to go into a house, get completely naked, and find it, have a big party. Is that how you do it?
No.
Is that... I'm going to call my dad and ask him if that's how you do it.
I don't know if you should trust that. He might say yes.
Oh, fuck. Goddamn horny Mexican. So he brings out Big John. I don't know why.
Dude, Big John got a fucking pop.
Yeah. When Big John came out, he got a pop. But I don't know why. He looked extra thug when he walked out. Bandana seemed lower. He looked meaner. He looked like a bad man. He says hi. He tells him not to make a mess or go into Brett's room unannounced, which is bullshit because apparently Lacey did that a lot. There's an interview with a woman named Christy Joe. Christy Joe.
Yes.
Christy. I hate this country. I don't actually, but fuck. She mentioned how in the first season, Big John, I wrote Bug John, sent 5 girls home and they're all scared. Brett says, nah, 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 it's all me, bruh. He starts picking girls, sends the rest in. Big John talks to him. Everyone else goes in and parties.
So yeah, basically, I'll do a little bit more on this. So
yeah, go ahead.
Basically, at this point, because obviously Brett, this time he chooses the girls. Because last, in the like first episode, of, like the first season, Big John chooses like 5 chicks and then like sent everyone in the house and the 5 chicks to go kick rocks.
Yes.
This time, Brett, in fear that like possibly one of those 5 chicks that he sent home could have been his rock of love, which I'm like, no, bro.
Nah.
Nah, bro.
No.
You're a fucking looks guy. Like an idiot. So obviously, no, it would not have worked out because you would not have given like any of these chicks the light of day.
I think there was one or two of them of the first 5 that they sent home that looked kind of okay, but meh.
Whatever. So Brett picks 4 girls. We get Aaron.
Yes.
Daisy. Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan. And then like, then all the other chicks, they just go into the fucking house and bombard it.
Yes.
Which I wrote down because there's one, because dude, there wasn't much of it. The chicks go in and start partying. And then we have Angelique where she gets her first thing where she, with her, she's from French and stuff and tells us, I want to have sex in the pools. And I was like, and that's how you get yeast infections. Please don't have sex in pools.
Wait, so you really can get a yeast infection from that?
Yeah.
Okay, I heard that rumor. Man, fuck porn. They make looking sex in the pools hot. I always thought it looked unhealthy.
Hey, maybe in a controlled porn shoot environment, yes. And fucking this random Bel Air bachelor pad with like all these other
with
chicks.
With 20 babes.
And Brett Michaels with his fucking stanky cock. Who knows where fucking else could go.
Brett Michaels and his stanky cock.
Basically drinks start getting poured. So the VIPs are out there and they're fucking worried.
Well, we
don't
know they're VIPs. Big John says,
oh,
you 4 are Brett's VIPs. And they're like, you know, like,
and they're like, bro, what the fuck?
They start to cry.
Yo! It's like, holy fuck, we thought we were getting kick rocks.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we're VIPs. Holy shit, dude. I'm not gonna lie, I'm sure I've been the same thing. It's like, dude.
Oh no, I would have been stoked. It's like, dude, I'd be like, I get at least one night of free room and board and food and beer. Fuck yeah.
So plus
most of them cry.
They're pretty stoked.
He takes them to the VIP room with champagnes and gifts. And by the way, I didn't notice this until they walked in this VIP room, but check this out. Every room with beds has pictures of Brett Michaels on the wall.
How dare Brett Michaels put pictures of himself?
Yeah, how
on
dare
his,
he?
Of his own show.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Do you think Hugh Hefner puts pictures of his ass in the fucking Playboy Mansion?
Yeah.
Wait, does he really?
I can believe it.
So, I hate rich people.
So
eat
yeah.
the rich. Everything he knows a lie, rebel against the government, I don't know.
Whatever. So basically, they get nice, comfy beds.
You already mentioned socialism. We might as well talk about anarchy. That's punk.
Yeah, sure. Let's take away the state so people can get away with stupid shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And then be aggro and get away with it.
But yeah, so they go in there and...
they're pretty all stoked. Then all the other chicks in the house, a couple of them realize, wait, we thought you girls got eliminated. It's like, no, we're VIPs. And by nature itself, they start hating them and just like,
yes.
Fuck you guys.
I mean, I'd be pissed too. Not because, I mean, it'd be because like, oh shit, these guys basically have guaranteed spots. One person calls them, I forget which one, but one of them says very important pussies. I'm like, oh, I bet you thought that was
very
funny, random
pussies.
Hot chick. But like the key factor here is Big John says all four of them will get some uninterrupted one-on-one time with Brett before he mingles with everybody else.
So yeah, Destiny talks about getting stripper shoes at this point and doing some pole exercises. That's kind of what it is. It's like, I got no much details, so we're just kind of like
that's basically what happened.
Through.
The next thing I noticed that happened is that Angelique person
just like goes like, "That's my poles," and it's like, "I owns it," and then she goes on there and basically kind of plops on a friggin' like vertical device. I don't know how.
I don't know why, but I
but
feel
she
like
somehow was able to plop.
I don't know why, but Angelique just
on a
feels
standing pole.
Angelique feels the most trashy for some reason.
Oh,
I don't know why.
I don't know. Is it like the friggin' like thousands of fucking dollars of plastic surgery and her wackiness?
No, it's like the $10,000. Do you see her face?
Oh, dude,
I feel bad saying that. It's that, but.
No body shame, but...
No body shame.
No problem.
We're not,
if you,
we're not
we don't
ones
care.
To talk.
Yeah, it's like, no body shame.
Well, no, you look good. I gotta... Oh, don't hit your fupa like you... Well, you got a bit of a fupa, but I got fupa power.
Yeah.
Oh, I hurt myself by slapping.
So yeah, whatever. Angelique, she's like, have a silly chick, but you know what? Angelique seems cool.
I didn't...
And plops
there was,
on a stripper pole.
There was so much, like, shit going on at once, and I tried to pause,
dude,
but...
Dude, there was!
This episode was shorter than the season one debut.
Yes, I know, it was shocking.
Yeah, the other one was...
I was like, fuck, bro, it feels shorter. Actually,
on YouTube, the first episode of season one was a full hour. This one was the standard 42 minutes.
Yes.
45.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It was shorter. I
Which
didn't fucking
on one
trip.
Hand, I was appreciative of... But on the other hand, I was like, it was so fast-paced. Like, every 2 seconds, there was bullshit.
There was something.
The only thing I know is that next, we do the bullshit with the pictures.
Yeah, so basically,
Daisy's like, how sexy is this? I'm going to make love to the camera and to Brett.
Oh my God, I'm going to make love to the camera. I'm going to make love to Brett. And then basically, yeah, so just like the first episode of last season, Brett's going to take pictures. But... He does have a good point. He tells us it's a good way to see on who's kind of confident, who really like kind of like is a little bit more easygoing and stuff. A lot more like
that
puts
is
himself.
Valid. That Which, is valid. But at the same time,
Brett's a fucking horny bandana wearing geek.
I know who you are, Brett Michaels.
Yes,
I had many years. Okay, I had many years of my mom shit talking you. Okay, I know, I know. So.
So, yeah.
You know, it's funny. My brother Nick was trying to tell me last time I saw him. He's like, Eddie, don't listen to your mom, okay? She had so many poison tapes back in the day. And mom literally said, no, I didn't. Just like that. No, I didn't. He's like, Deanne, I saw them. The Capokes. They call her Capokes. He's like, I saw them Capokes. I know you rock poison just like you used to rock the Scorpions. And she's like, that's because the Scorpions were good.
Yeah, Scorpions are good. Poison blows.
But yeah, my brother Nick swear. There's conflicting timelines here, dude.
Are you sure it ain't your pops' poison tapes?
I've never hit my father.
Please don't.
But I would feel like it.
Emotionally.
He has a... Oh, my God. That was me hitting my head against... Ow, my head. Okay,
so I didn't really
he
like...
He takes pictures. I got some play-by-play just because this was like...
Dude, I didn't because, dude, this shit was go by quick. And
that's
I'm
why
like,
I said, yeah,
And no
yeah.
one really stand out.
No one stood
Too
out.
Much.
No one stood
There's
out.
A couple.
No one stood out, but I feel like making fun of people more attractive than me, and we got to kill some time. So,
are you sure, dude? We're fucking hit 32 minutes already.
So first up is Jackie, I believe, and it's not Jackie like how you think it is. It's Jack and then Y E because of course.
Who cares? It's Jackie.
He
I wrote down Jack and I E. So
he tells her to like do some like moves or whatever. He says like I saw it in a porn. Next is Jessica, who I guess is a farmer girl. Brett says she's like sex behind the barn, whatever the fuck that means. Then Roxy, a black rocker gal with pink highlights and she's pretty. Catherine, who looks like an 80s video vamp. Then Sarah. Next is who didn't stand out. Next is Angelique.
What she just basically, this is like the one time, like, all right, I wrote down, I'm not going to bother with the list of peeps who got their pictures.
Yeah.
But so first one that actually mattered was Angelique, because she came out and she just like, just like slaughtered up and just started taking off her top. And then Brett was like, oh, I did. Oh, finally some boobs.
Yeah, and by the way, this television show thought it was funny because every time she talked, they had subtitles for her, and every time she said something like the or something, they wrote it as the, like Z-E, you know, because she has an accent.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, you're so quirky and cool. So she pulls a Heather, like you said, and whips out her tits.
And like, here's the thing, Heather was like the last one.
Yeah. This is like girl number five.
Yeah.
She says she's had them done twice, which I'm like, yes, I see that. Brett says it's really weird when the first girl takes her top off, it ups the competition. And then we see women like taking their pants off.
And like teasing up their hair. I wrote down like, bruh.
He says they're
fucking Bill Nye, the tool science guy right here.
He's fucking like, they're like trailblazers, like Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark. So what? Does that make Big John Sacagawea? Next is Daisy.
Fuck, that actually made me facepalm.
Then next is Daisy, nothing really special. Then Peyton. Brett says at one point randomly, he said, you could do it. This is not the Disney Channel. I know, because the Disney Channel has stuff I want to watch. The only thing VH1 has is they actually play music videos, and those behind the musics are rad. Daisy. Next is Ina. She pulls a Melina from WWE and does a splits in a very short skirt. And when she does that, the soundtrack does like a two-bar guitar solo. Next is Destiny, who's self-conscious, but Brett's like, she's cute, but this lack of self-confidence killed it for me.
I don't know, when you have some fucking creepy looking eyeliner dude taking pictures
of
you.
Did he get more eyeliner to you in the interview segments? I swear he got more eyeliner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
Oh, yeah.
I told you, he legitimately likes wearing it. He doesn't do it because he thinks he has to. He likes wearing eyeliner. I know he fucking does.
Whatever, it's your fucking job to wear eyeliner and fucking go for it, dude.
Next is a girl named Ashley who has small breasts, and Brett is sympathetic to her. He says, you know, he even tells her, you know, she's like, I don't have my, he's like, oh, it's fine. That ain't what it's all about, you know. And then he says, you know, she was self-confident of her small breasts. I thought they were sexy, but in this room, I understand her situation. I'm like, wow, who knew Brett Michaels was such an advocate for positivity, body positivity?
As long as they suck face with him.
Then a woman named Missy, then a girl named Amber, then a girl named Nikki. Again, none of them really matter. Then a girl named Aubrey, and then...
Well, there was also Courtney, which was kind of the first awkward one.
Yeah, like, she was pretty awkward.
Painfully awkward.
Yes.
But, like, hey, when you have an eyelining guy, a guy with eyeliner taking pictures of you...
Yeah.
I think it's all right to say you can be a little awkward.
Next is a girl named Aubrey, who everyone calls, like, a bunch of the girls, I think this was Aubrey, they call her old, and I'm like, have you seen Brett?
No, dude, seriously. So, yeah, we have, like, Aubrey. She's taking her pictures. And then we have an interview segment of Megan.
Yeah.
As she's roasting about Aubrey. It's like, oh, my God, why is she, like, on my man's face and stuff? But then she says, like,
those lips are mine.
Those lips are mine, but I guess it's like kissing your grandma. You just kind of have to do it, Brett. So, yeah. And then she comes up and then just starts, like, kissing them straight, like, first thing. Yeah. Because, like,
Brett actually made me laugh here. He says, she attempts to kiss me, and I allow this. It goes against all my morals, but I allowed it. And then he says, and he's like, oh, my God, what a horrific body she has. She'll never, you know, something. And I'm like,
you would never have to work a day in her life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, wow, can Brett Michaels actually be funny? Wow, it only took 14 episodes.
How did... Yes, Brett Michael tells us it's his,
he said some
his
things.
Morals he, to kiss a girl, but he was just kissing another one right
okay,
before.
Okay, but he was like obviously being sarcastic. Like, Brett seems to be able to laugh at himself a little bit. He was actually being sarcastic, and I'm like, that's why I'm like, oh wow, Brett's actually kind of funny? Oh my God?
No, it was just this one time.
Yeah, exactly. So... Next is Christy Joe, who walks up to Brett and wipes his lips off because she's like, ooh, germs. I wrote...
And it's like, oh, yeah, she's a germaphobe. And it's like, no, she's been watching...
She's been watching Rock of Love.
She's been seeing whoever the fuck else been like face on face on face. And it's like, hey, let me wipe your lips off this other stuff.
And then when she does that, he doesn't say this, but you can just tell it was total boner death, dude. Brett says in like, her, he senses a tiger. Then it's Aaron. No, not that Aaron. This is a another
girl named Aaron.
Yeah, black rocker gal named Aaron. She poses with an acoustic guitar, kind of looks like Lenny Kravitz. Brett is then ready to part, you know, because he takes her pictures or whatever.
Takes her pictures, and then it's time to party.
Yeah, he says they need to catch his eye.
Well,
catch his eye.
If you want to survive on the show.
These fuckers are partying hard. Jumping in the pool. I don't know.
I feel like the last of alcohol. I feel like season one was worse with the party.
Well, if we take that interview we saw with Bret Michaels into account, he said something like that first night lasted like 3 days. I don't know if he was speaking in hyperbole, but apparently, yeah, that first night was actually really wild. And so,
well, there was a lot of like clothes changes throughout, like on the first episode.
I never noticed that until you mentioned that there were a lot of clothes changes on that one.
Yeah, this one I feel like was a little bit more consistent. So maybe it was the first night.
This one felt like it was actually in one night.
Yes.
So,
but who knows? It most likely was three nights, but whatever.
So first, he's going to take some time to meet the VIPs. And this is actually when I almost wish the episode would have been an hour long. I mean, I didn't actually wish that because fuck that. But just because I felt like we didn't get a lot of time with the VIPs. First up is Megan.
Do you want that much time with the VIPs?
No, but they were set up to be like the main characters, like sort of.
Ish. I think they're just like maybe like the ones that Brett's boner. To Brett's old fucking stinky cock that friggin' like, that's stuffed. Like, you know, I like that one, I like that one, and I like that one.
Megan's a model, she says, and she says she's
like
looking.
Like a fucking course.
She says she's looking for someone special. Brett says, oh, me too, basically, and then they kiss. Brett says, I like to kiss her face a lot.
Cool, dude.
Megan's also drunk. Next is Destiny.
She would have fooled me with her fucking stoic face.
Next is Destiny. She says he is so hot, I want to rub my hands all over him. Then she reaches into her tits and pulls out a bandana she made for him.
With studs.
Then it gets weird when she tells him, you know, typical fangirl reaction, like, oh my God, you're here.
Dude.
She's like, I had him, she says she had him plastered all over her room. He mentions
she's just basically a fucking Punisher at this point. It's like literally like those geeky fans that are just punishing him right now. It's like, oh my God, like you're like one of my favorite artists. Yeah, dude, I got like all your freaking stuff and whatnot. I got your whole room plastered with your face and everything.
I mean, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling, I don't think there's anything wrong with like telling your favorite artist or whatever that you like them. And you can,
but
it's
getting
a degree.
In their face.
Yeah. That's the thing. There's a way to do it casually. This chick was not being cash.
Yeah, she's being a Punisher.
Then it says that. And then Brett mentions her laugh was annoying, but her breasts and lips made up for it. He didn't say it that
basically,
way, but that's what he said.
With her punishing ways, he was a little like, how do you say, turned off? But I guess since Destiny like has his checklist of like what's hot, also turned him on.
You know,
he just basically, I'll just stare at her boobs and I don't even know what she said.
You know what? My dad is like that with Fran Drescher. He always said that, you know, I'm Fran Drescher. You know, he always said she's a 10 until she opens her mouth. Is that a little misogynistic? Probably, but yes. He's a boomer. And boomers have ways of saying stuff like that where it's funny and kind of charming. At least my dad does.
Yes.
So
next is Daisy.
Oh, really quick. Brett also calls Destiny the perfect psycho fan. Says she'll either make love to me or kill me. Cool, dude. Then yes, Daisy. I wrote here, they make out.
There's the shitty fireworks talk. Daisy's pretty stoked. And then Daisy tells us she's a musician and shit.
And then they make out again. That's it.
Yeah.
We get a shot of Ina being drunk.
She basically pops out of the pool and it's like, screw these VIPs. I'm going to run over.
I respected her tenacity.
With her basically wet, like almost naked body, she went over and just like plopped on the Brett.
She jumped into his arms.
And then Brett's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. All right, I still got one more VIP to talk to.
Next is Aaron. She loves Rockstar, she says, and she hopes he likes her charisma. And they can connect on an artistic level.
On an artistic level. But then she starts fucking geeking about MySpace. And Brett's like 40. I don't think he's on social medias. Especially the early platform that was fucking MySpace. Bruh.
Just the way you said that. She starts talking about MySpace. He's 40.
He's 40.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, she's talking about all this stuff. She's talking about world experience and stuff, things she's learned.
But, it's a lot on MySpace.
It's just a lot of rambling. She wasn't really talking about her, I think.
Yeah.
And he's bored. He's getting really bored.
So,
I was just like, damn, unfortunate. Brett says now he's going to meet all the girls. They've got 1 hour for everyone to meet him.
Fuck, dude, an hour with all these fucking chicks? Shit. How the fuck? So basically, yeah, they have 1 hour to impress Brett. So, like, half of them just bombard him.
They bum rush him like mad.
Basically, he got fucking dog pile on this fucking couch seat.
Yes. And Brett says this is rock and roll 101.
So, like,
that's what he says.
Rock and roll 101, you got to prepare to get bombarded. It's like, bro, you're not fucking Beatles level bombardment. That's basically you need.
Oh, no, Beatles bombardment? Is that you can't go in public or bitches get trampled.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Brett Michaels, you can go in
BTS
public.
BTS isn't that popular.
Bruh, so basically, Brett, I don't think you're getting bombarded.
No, this isn't bombarded. That's honestly, this is probably more girls than he usually gets at once. I'm sure he gets some. Maybe not now because he's like 50.
Come on. I hope the fuck not. But who knows?
So
when Poison's part of like legit lineups, I'm just saying, bro. Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Joan Jett. That's a fat lineup.
That's a great
lineup.
You
just have to go through fucking Poison.
I know. I hate that Joan Jett, because I know this is how the lineup worked. I hate that Joan Jett went on after Poison, before Poison.
Wait, what?
That's the lineup. Joan Jett, no. Poison, and then Motley Crue and Def Leppard switch off.
Don't tell me Poison's bigger than Joan Jett.
That's the thing. I don't want to think so, and I don't think so.
Well, maybe we can look up those numbers another time.
Another time.
We'll just say Joan Jett starts the crowd off hot, but then you get, like, Brett to cool off the crowd.
Yeah.
People can go take their piss breaks. And then it's the marathon of Def Leppard and Motley Crue.
Yeah. Man, I hope when we see them, I hope Def Leppard closes that night just because Def Leppard's so... You gotta see Def Leppard, bro. Great fucking show, I tell ya.
Dude, I'd rather not, because at this point it would be a meme for us to see Poison. At least for your family, dude. They're literally taking you reviewing this show serious.
This is all your fault. No one in my life thought I liked Poison until this show.
We don't like Poison.
I know. I know.
I know, James. I know.
So next is Roxy. Gets him one-on-one time. She straddles him. Then like 6 or 7 girls charge him. He says you can never have too many girls. I think you can.
Yeah.
I think you can. The shy girls then make their move. Catherine, for instance.
Do they just suitably just kind of saunter on over? Because they're kind of just chilling.
Yes.
They're not in his fucking face.
Which I know Brett Michaels likes, you know, girls giving him attention, but I think he actually respects women that aren't crazy assholes. So
oh no, when you're the fucking like singer of like the rock singer of legendary freaking glam band Poison.
I think of how people connect to music on emotional levels and or even just levels where I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I can rep this, ride or die this. Like, I think of some of my favorite bands. I'm like, how the fuck does anyone think of Poison? How does anyone think a rat like that?
Does anyone think a rat like
that? I work with a guy who was homeboys with Steven Percy before Rat. I think I told you, my coworker Doug, he was homeboys with Steven Percy.
And how'd that turn out?
Steven Percy apparently was actually kind of a mellow dude, kind of shy, kept to himself.
I can believe it.
Yeah. So, why do... I hate glam. I actually kind of like glam, but fuck glam.
So, yeah. So, that I don't know. I just wrote down, yeah, he gets dogpiled. There's a lot of the chill chicks be chilling because they're kind of just shy and, like, they don't, like... Do we plop on him?
He gets some...
Do we just dogpile? But then he gets one-on-one time with Catherine.
45. She has 2 kids.
She's a mom.
Similar to Rodeo, they connect over kids. And I guess when you just get to a certain age, you just connect with stuff like that.
Yeah, how dare someone be so, the same age as Brett Michaels,
but then, like,
have kids and understand what it's like to be a parent.
But
dude. You gotta hunt for chicks like half your age, dude, who are freaking telling him how MySpace works.
I'm just... I'm just imagining someone like who would have been our age just telling Bret Michaels, okay, this is how you set up your profile. Yes, yeah, you could just take a picture. Yes, you can wear the bandana, you know?
Yes. You can, like, here, there's a complicated way where you can code and, like, an easy way to code and set up your, like, MySpace profile, or you just go to pimpmyprofile.com.
So, yeah, they connect over kids and stuff. Then Three Girls walks up, and, like, the soundtrack is playing, like, you know, melancholic music, similar to how it did with Rodeo when they talked. But then these girls and Frenchie walk up, the record player scratches and music stops, and she says, I am sorry, we have limited time, we need to talk to Bret.
Well, bruh, if you got a fucking hour and this is a competition, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Bret, who was actually having a nice conversation, says, give me 2 seconds. He says it like that, like decently forceful too. And then, but he likes how needy she is. He likes how needy Angelique seems to be for his time. And he says, in some sick way, it kind of turned him on.
Up, he said it! He said it!
Bret talks to Jackie. Says she has a cool hot Italian thing going on. I wouldn't have even known she was Italian. Nikki, he thinks, is nice but needs to step it up. She's awkward. But then she says sex is everything, and then he says he likes her a lot.
Dude, that was fucking hilarious. So yeah. Basically, Bret is talking to Jackie and Nikki, fucking the ickies and stuff.
Icky.
And stuff. And then, like, literally, obviously, Nikki's just kind of, like, sitting there, kind of marbled voice, just kind of, like, not really saying much. And Bret's just like, yeah, whatever, boner death and stuff. And he asks, so what do you think's important relationship? Sex. And he's like, oh, I'll be going now.
I'm Bret Michaels. I love sex, ooh-woo.
I was like, oh, yeah, dude, gooch.
So then Bret, we see Courtney fucking flopping all over the place, just fucking drunk as hell.
Tiffany. Then we meet Courtney, who's basically drunk death.
That was what I was talking about. Yeah, that was Courtney. Then Bret's talking with
and basically you have Amber helping out Courtney while she's drunk. Sorry, I just want to say that.
No, that's
so he takes two girls, and one of them's Christy Joe. I don't know who the other one is.
I forgot.
I think it's the other one that was fucking awkward, where they asked her, hey, did you like talk to Bret at all? Yeah, I like said hi.
But yeah, she said she just walked up and said hi.
And, like, you see Bret with Catherine. They go to, like, a rewind with flashback. You see Bret walking with Catherine. And you see this chick, like, hey, babe. Kisses him, and he just keeps walking.
Fucking rip.
Dude, this chick was a rip.
So,
but both these chicks got ripped because the Bret's like,
I gotta go to the bathroom. But then he comes across a stripper pole.
Jackie's just fucking showing off her shit.
And he says he no longer had to go to the bathroom. After telling them he'd be right back, I'm like, you dick. Big John brings him back because Big John is actually a good person.
I wrote Buck John right here too.
Yeah.
Hey, we both fucked up.
Bug John.
I think we fucked up doing this show.
I need Pixar to remake Bug's Life, but Flick is Big John.
Cool.
That's all I need. Everything else is the same. No. Hopper's Bret Michaels. I want to see Bret Michaels get killed by a giant bird.
Don't we all?
So,
at least this Bret Michaels.
So he talks to Christy Joe. He likes Christy Joe's coldness. And then I guess he talked to the other person. I don't know.
Coldness or Christy Joe just being like kind of a little shy and awkward, a little reserved, not wanting to be in your face.
So,
but Bret's like, I want it in my face. You just don't want to put in work.
Yeah. So he talks to a few more girls.
But it's your fucking show, so I guess you could play. It's my fucking show. I could be lazy and do whatever I want.
So then he talks to a few more girls like Jessica, who makes out with him out of nowhere. Courtney's passed out on the couch. She can't even get herself dressed, pretty much. And then it's time for elimination.
Yeah, I just think,
Bret goes to elimination dressed like Kiryu right before the last boss fight of Yakuza 4. Just straight, full black suit. And pants and shoes. I'm like, damn, he actually kind of looks cool.
He kind of dressed
pretty
tame.
Show us your hairline, Bret.
He's pretty tame.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no
for the first
cow skin robe.
Dude, so for the first episode of the season, he's already coming out a tame, like,
there's real character development. I think Bret Michaels has matured as a
as we went along the show. So whatever, basically,
he knew we were going to yell at him and make fun of him 10 years in the future, 13 years in the future.
I'm sure people were yelling and making fun of him back then.
I hope. So Bret,
Yeah, for the sake of humanity, I hope to God someone was like going like, dude, what the fuck is this shit?
So I got the list of elims or people he's talking about, the people he's gonna keep first. And yeah, I got the list too. Yeah,
also first Brett noticed, where's Courtney? And she's just fucking dead on the floor somewhere.
So we can assume that we all assume correctly she's eliminated.
Yeah. So basically, so the peeps that got passes first was Megan,
who he calls the lady in red. The next was
Daisy,
his sex kitten that he said. That's what he says. Meow. I hate you so much. So
then we get Destiny.
Destiny. Aubrey.
Peyton.
Who walks up to him and he says he loves her rocker pants. And I looked at her pants and I'm like, holy shit, is that just Young Bucks gear? Go back and see the pants, dude.
I know. I watched the episode today. I know what Peyton was wearing. She wore the same thing all episode.
Yeah. Next is Corey.
No, actually, no.
No, sorry, Roxy.
No, it was like Ina.
Ina? Oh,
yeah.
Shit, I missed
that. Yeah, it was like Ina, Roxy, then Corey, then Jessica, Sarah. Catherine. With Christy Joe roast Catherine for being old. And then I wrote down, it's like, and say Brett is like, why is she like, here, she's old. Is Brett into older women? I don't know. Is Brett fucking 42? Maybe he should be dating someone closer to his age.
Maybe half the reason why Jess didn't work out is because she realized, hey, wait a minute, I'm fucking young. I got my whole life ahead of me, dog.
Fuck this dude.
So then after that, Roxy, Corey, Jessica, Sarah, Christy Joe, Nikki,
Angelique, and where then Brett feels like he had a spiritual connection with her when she took off.
A spiritual connection? No, you're both just two horny blondes.
No, he had a spiritual connection with her when she took off her top.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he said that. Man, fuck you, Brett.
Hey, dude, fucking star comedian Brett Michaels here. So now we're down to the last pass.
I see people like Brett Michaels, and I just think of like other celebrities that I like that people hate, like Dane Cook, right? I like Dane Cook. Everyone used to hate Dane Cook. I'm like, man, why the fuck didn't people like Brett Michaels get this fucking hate? At least Dane Cook doesn't dress like a douche.
Well, maybe because Dane Cook's a bigger celebrity than Brett Michaels.
Is he? Oh my God, he is. Ha! That makes me laugh. So then.
So we're down to one last pass.
Yes.
And you know who gets it?
Do you people want to know? It's not going to surprise you.
It was Jackie.
Jackie, the stripper. Or at least the one dancing on the stripper
pole. Yeah, the one actually had the most stripper pole dancing skills.
Yes.
But record scratch. Stop. She then like wants to be honest with Brett, where she says that she's kind of feeling really, really anxious.
Yeah.
And to the point, it's like, you know what? I'm not feeling comfortable. I don't know if I should go home or not, because I do want to get to know you and I want to have fun on the show.
Yeah.
Which then Roxy, I wrote down, it's like Roxy, who's a fucking idiot that doesn't know how mental health is, like, oh my God, she's like bipolar.
Is she schizophrenic?
And I'm just like, maybe Jackie has a little bit of anxiety, like social anxiety, and maybe she feels like the show's already a little too wild.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not for me. So I wrote down, it's like, Roxy's just, what, is she one of those fucking idiots that didn't know mental health?
I'm aware this is 2008 or 7 or whatever, but she said that, and I paused, and I just, like, leaned my head back. I'm like, that's not what that is. Schizophrenic? That's not bipolar either. That's being a regular person with feelings.
Or who's just honest. Even like, here's the thing. She just could be have a little social anxiety.
Yeah. She, I
and
mean,
like,
I mean,
if this show's too, I mean, wild.
Hell, look at poor Sam. I mean, yeah, we love Sam. I'm glad she stuck around because the show was great with her on.
And well, her, I shouldn't say great. Brett at the,
yeah,
end,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reunion.
I can't say the show was great, but she was great. She was the best person on the show. She toughed it out for like 10 episodes. Look at the fucking toll it took on her, dude. Jackie made the right decision.
So I wrote down, yeah, so Jackie chooses to go home because she's not a fucking idiot and like, it's all right to be a little anxious and communicate your feelings, and which is like, oh, bummer. So Brett now has to choose someone, and which we haven't really talked much about this person, because this person got a couple interview segments and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was talking about her being nervous and stuff, but out of nowhere, Amber gets the final pass, and Amber is stoked and stuff.
But poor Aaron is crushed because she thought she basically had a secure spot.
So Aaron, who is a VIP, thought she had a secure spot.
But no.
Hey, bruh. And then, like, literally, Brett tells basically, yeah, so Brett tells Erin that she's basically, she's kind of young.
Yeah.
And all this stuff, too. And it's like, bruh, you just eliminate her because she's an internet geek and you can't, and you're just like, dude, she's on another planet.
Yeah. You know, there was a funny bit when he bids Missy goodbye because she walks out, you know, she goes, and then she asks,
God, you caught this because I didn't.
And she goes, is Nikki Six available? And I'm like, no. You know why? Because sure, he's had a couple divorces, but you know what? He got his shit together and got married. Well, since 2012, but all his other relationships lasted decently long. He's got like 5 kids. He's drug free. I think he's alcohol free, or at the very least, he's drug free. He kicked his shit, and yeah, no, he's not a fucking wreck of a person. I'm not saying Brett is, but I'd rather date Nikki Six than fucking Brett Michaels. Kat Von D doesn't know what she lost.
I don't know. Maybe
it was very public when those two were dating.
Nikki Six is a weirdo. Oh, did you fucking see?
No, he's weird.
Did you fucking see on Twitter when someone asked, hey, who do you think's the most underrated bassist in metal? And he said him. And it's just like,
listen, I get it, Nikki. A lot of people have talked shit on you, especially that one producer dude.
With your playing.
But listen, there's a couple caveats to that. You're not a lazy motherfucker. You got better. And you were a showman, which a lot of the times showmanship matters more than technicality, just like wrestling. And
it's like Nikki Six, you got charisma. Yeah,
you got a story to tell.
You can't play bass.
And here's the thing, Nikki Six is like
Motley Crue is a little bit more of an exciting band than Poison.
And here's the thing,
like,
Nikki,
I don't think there's a good Motley Crue album for me to enjoy it myself personally.
Dr. Feel Good.
I know you like fucking like Motley Crue. Like, I'm sure there's an album you can listen to front to back.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no Motley Crue album I can listen to front to
Not
back.
Not even Too Fast for Love.
But bruh, they got hits on hits on hits.
Oh, they do. They've got like 12.
Dude, they got like, yeah, they had 12 hits. So here's the thing, Motley Crue's got hits.
And here's the thing, Nikki Six,
like,
actually,
those songs. Any of those songs, maybe except for Smoking in the Boys Room.
Yeah, which is a cover.
Yeah. Is better than a lot of Poison songs. Oh, dude, I'll take fucking, like, what was it, Home Sweet Home?
Home Sweet Home. I'm on my way, Home Sweet Home.
Yeah, dude, that song, way more higher tier than Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
The Beast, their B-sides. There's even a shitty ballad on the end of Dr. Feelgood. It's like, change. Now it's time for change. I'm like, it's 1990 when you're releasing this Motley Crue. Live Aid passed, okay? We Are the World is like 5 years old. Nirvana's about to blow the house up next year. Don't write ballads like that. Well, but listen, Nikki Six actually tries to like help people. Like he, like a bunch of charities and shit. But like, bro, if you read the Heroin Diaries, you'll never want
to
do drugs.
Well, you shouldn't try.
What's Brett Michaels done? I'm certain he does some charity things here and there, but you don't see him raising awareness for diabetes. You don't see him kicking his drinking habit, even though.
Well, we don't know. Here's the thing about the show. Do you really see Brett fucking getting uncled like these chicks?
In season one, we did. Only like 3 or 4 times.
Obviously, Brett was dealing with some health issues around this time.
That's what I mean. Yes, yes. Oh, my God. The motherfucker's all. I commend him for not being dead.
Yes.
Because
I won't diss his health issues. I'll diss his bad choice of fucking dealing with his health and stuff.
Yes. So, yeah, that's our cast for this season. Next episode, or throughout the season, I wrote Roller Derby. Because he says the challenges are even crazier. He's like, there's roller derby, pig chasing, Lacey comes back, rodeo comes back, Heather comes back, football, and lots of crying.
And yelling.
And yelling. Like this.
Well, no, not like this. That is like, no, they had like anger. Oh.
This is piss and vinegar and anger. I want to cut like a Brock Lesnar, like I want to cut like a fucking CM Punk promo on Brett Michaels and just or like a Brock Lesnar one where I'm like, I'm gonna leave Brett Michaels in a pool of urine and vomit and blood or whatever he said. I forgot.
So we're back on it. Are you ready?
No, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. Right. Can we just talk about the decline of grunge next time?
Oh,
because that was a really good 10 minutes on that one episode. And then I can start to tell people how post-grunge mostly sucks, but Seether's a good band.
You want to know a great grunge band?
What?
Without even realizing it? Entombed.
What the fuck did you just say?
Go listen to Wolverine Blues and the album after. Those?
What was after Wolverine Blues? Was that... No, Clandestine was before
that. Dude, it was
that.
So fucking like...
Was that Left Hand Path?
No, Left Hand Path was their first one.
Was the first one, I'm sorry.
Here's the thing about Entombed, people like to remember. The classic death metal albums.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something about Wolverine Blues and that other album after. Because we were discussing... Because I was discussing this with...
Are you talking about the album where they went like Death and Roll?
Here's the thing, dude. Fucking Wolverine Blues was death and roll.
No, it was.
Here's
it was.
The thing about fucking, like, Entombed. They were, like, death metal for their first two albums, but then they realized they don't want to fucking try to, like, play that hard.
Yeah.
But, like, literally, bro, I'm telling you right now, maybe not yeah, dude.
To Ride, Shoot, Straight, and Speak the Truth.
Yes, people hate that album, but, bro, that album has early Nirvana riffs all over that fucking album.
Let it was released in 97, so that makes sense.
Let me tell you, Wolverine Blues and that album, awesome grunge album. Real grunge sounding album.
Yeah, which one? Wolverine Blues?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, okay. I need to re-listen to it then, because I...
You're going to listen to it, and you're like, dude, you could make a bitching grunge band ripping off this shit.
Okay. I think an underrated album by them, it's part of their death and roll gimmick, was called Uprising from the year 2000. Not a lot of good things came out of the year 2000, but I thought that was a good one. I like Death and Roll. I think people are a little hard on it. I know it's not something that people immediately like, but I think it can grow on you.
Hey, when you're fucking playing like really fast stuff and then you're kind of playing like garbage poison sounding music, but with death metal tones, I can imagine some peeps really hating that. When you're growing up on that fucking hard shit and you're like, bro, this is like the hardest fucking shit.
I get it.
And then they do that. And then your band, and then like a band you jock does that. And you're just like, dude, what the fuck?
No, I get it. If I grew up and I was a kid in the 80s and I grew up, you know, only listening to first Metallica, Slayer, and then, you know, the blossoming death metal scene over in San Francisco
and
Florida.
You're hitting up those you're on that mailing order of the zine, freaking sending tapes to randos all over the world.
You know,
them sending you like fucking like garbage recorder tapes.
If I had the original Testament demo with Steve Zosa, or if I had the original Piranha demo, you know what? I think I would have closed-minded taste too. But I don't. Death and roll is a good genre.
I don't know. I'll give it a little bit more time.
Okay, Entombed is good when they do death and roll.
Entombed sounds like a grunge band.
Yeah, I wonder band. How many people would get pissed off if you said that.
I don't fucking care.
I don't care either. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. You listen to that stuff and you listen to the time and realize.
It's like, damn, am I in
real
Seattle?
Grunge?
Like, damn, am I in
Not
Seattle?
Not fucking Pearl Jam.
Oh my God. I need Pearl Jam to fucking suck it. I need time to be able to just put out the Pearl Jam.
I'm just saying a 1990s. Early grunge, not fucking radio rock grunge.
Yes, which is different. I said this a while ago. There's no real grunge bands anymore. If they are, then they're still from back then. But they all formed in like 87, 89. There's no real grunge. Death to false grunge. Boom. I'm putting that on a t-shirt. I'm going to wear that.
Boom. So yeah.
And post-grunge mostly sucks, except for Seether.
Oh, you want to know what fucking will just blow your mind?
What?
Here's the thing.
Is this about Seether?
Let's talk about rap music for a quick second.
Rap? Oh, yeah, sure. I like rap.
Let me tell you something. Because, like, most of these days, rap's a pretty, pretty big genre and stuff, too.
It's oversaturated.
Now, let me tell you about my, like, diss boy, Seb.
When he says diss, he means diss rocker, which means...
My freaking guitar player and my, like, DB band. He has never listened to a Wu-Tang Clan song.
What?
Till last night. Because we were talking about fucking... We were talking... Because here's the thing. We were going off a list of bands that Seb's girlfriend jocked. And it was literally every Tumblr sad boy era fucking pop punk band that was legit. And then a lot of these alt rappers, if you can call them rappers and stuff. But then we started talking about like older stuff. Because like, dude, I love older fucking sample, like the older samples of rap music and stuff too. Because they're using like fucking off like real drums and shit. Because I'm just like, dig it at. And it's like, yeah, let's throw on a fucking Wu-Tang Clan song and shit. I just want to hear that fucking shit where you have to, like, use, like, overpriced garbage equipment to, like, rip, like, a like one piece of drums and then loop it around and, like, add, like, 3 to 4 more things on it to make a beat and shit. Not just fucking 808s, like, beats and stuff, too. Real, like, sounding drums. But, like, dude, you and I, it's like... Like, I was like, Seb Sinner's like, wow, I should really listen to a lot more 90s rap. I'm like, have you, like, not?
Yeah, it's the best. Well,
have
yeah.
you, like, not?
It was 90s like, is the best rap.
I'm like, then I realized, am I that fucking old where I know
no, it's more 90s rap? No, it's because rap is a lot like K/J-pop and pop music. A lot. It's not like rock and metal where people actively go back to the past and retrace roots. Like, maybe, sure, you'll know a couple classic songs, like maybe a Tupac song or a Biggie song. And obviously, N.W.A. after the Straight Outta Compton movie got even bigger. Arguably bigger than Wu-Tang Clan right
now. Dude, because here's the thing. We first were talking about beats, and then we threw on the Chronic, Dr. Dre, and then like Seb's like, oh, this is good. It's like, bro, you never like. Because here's the thing, it's like, so I'm sure at one point everyone's listening to rap at some point, but have you not, like,
but listened? That's the thing with rap, usually, and country's actually like this too. Folks do trace, not as the country isn't as bad as rap, but like people don't usually trace rap back because rap is always, because it's oversaturated, there's always a new single or a new this, new that. It's always moving forward at a really fit quick pace. So someone like Seb, he's only focused on the new stuff. He probably didn't think to go back and trace the roots.
No one shows stuff. Oh, then it just got me on a fat rap kick license. Because, like, here's the thing. There's no album, I really think, in rap music that I can listen to back and forth.
Oh, Wu-Tang's first
hits
album.
On hits on hits.
No, dude, Wu-Tang Clan's first album.
Like, that one, yeah. Yeah, I can listen to front and back. RZA's got fucking beats on beats. But I'm just saying, like, stuff friggin', like, there's not much stuff I could really, like, say I myself can enjoy front to back. I'm just not the biggest rap fan, but I love hits. Oh, dude, I was fucking go like, dude, oh, listen to No Vaseline by Ice Cube. Yeah. Oh, listen to some fucking shitty crunk rap and stuff, too. Because, like, dude, I was like, oh.
Natural Born Killers.
Then I fucking threw on, like, Hypnotize. Like, all these, like, rap hits. I was like, dude, I love the fucking rap hits.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't say I could genuinely say I'm, like, a fan of, like, the genre where I'm listening out front-to-back albums.
Actually, Eminem's new album I listened to all the way through. But, you like,
came to me. So, bro, once we can make it through this, unless you want to quit for 1 week break.
No, I know what you're going to say. Don't you dare. Don't say it.
What do you think I'm going to say?
On my life before God, I swear to God, if you say Flavor of Love.
No.
Oh, thank God.
What? I was going to say, let's review Cradle to the Grave, the movie with Jet Li and DMX. Because I started listening to DMX again. Is that a rock of love? You choose your poison.
I'll get back to you.
If you want...
We still gotta do Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah.
With Busta Rhymes.
I'm just saying...
Happy fucking Halloween!
I'm just saying, if there's a point in this show where it's like, dude, I need a fucking week break from this bullshit, I'm down. You're gonna have to do Cradle to the Grave. With Jet Li and DMX.
Yeah! Ow, ow! Yeah! Get fucked! I can't say half the shit that fucking DMX says. So many racial and homophobic slurs.
DMX is so poppin'.
I love DMX so
much. He ain't like Wu-Tang, like just chilling, lo-fi beats.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, DMX got some fun-ass songs.
Oh, he does.
X gon' give it to you.
When you stand for nothing.
Stand for nothing. Open.
You salt.
So yeah, it's up to you. Will you survive Rock of Love Season 2? Or are you going to need to take a week break and watch Cradle to the Grave?
We'll fucking see, goddammit.
All right, well, everyone, I guess this is the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show. It's your boy, James. All right, have a good one.
Adios.